personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Hey, we're back this week.
Welcome back, Aaron.
Well, thank you.
Things are different. Things are different now. That's how we have to start the show.
Yeah. I almost brought Max on to be the co-host today.
But I wouldn't. There's germs in here, man.
Well, yeah. And
spittle everywhere.
I asked him what he thought about the whole Tim Anderson, Josh Donaldson debacle, and he had so little to say, I just don't know.
Is this the Jackie Robinson thing?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if we talked about that 2 weeks ago, maybe we should go ahead and...
All right.
I mean, it was the biggest story in baseball there for a hot minute. Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson getting into a little bit of a...
Here's the thing. There's part of me that wants to believe that he didn't mean it in a racist way. But it's also a teaching moment, even for people who aren't racist, which I don't think he is.
No, I actually...
But it's a teaching moment to be like... You still can't do stuff like that. It's just like when you come up and even if it's a family member or a friend of yours and you like this happens all the time around here and they and you want to rub their head. It's like that's not acceptable.
That's a thing around here, is it?
Well, not around here, but I'm just saying people still are not as familiar. If you didn't grow up with any minority friends, then it perpetuates into your adulthood, and just those little things, you're not quite sure what to do.
Ah, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is one of those situations where I think he was probably trying to be casual, but the guy took offense, and he's like, "Hey, dude, you can't say that."
Well, and the thing with that is, first of all, obviously I'm a White Sox fan, so there's going to be some natural, you know, people raising bias. He's on Tim Anderson's side. First of all, let me say, I actually don't think Josh Donaldson genuinely thought to himself, "Haha, look, it's a black guy. I hate them black guys. Let me rustle his jimmies."
But that's exactly why stuff is subtle. It's not like in the movies, at least not like, you know, like it was in the 40s and the 30s.
What I do have an issue with... It's kind of a two-pronged attack. First of all, even though Josh Donaldson probably isn't racist, boy, do all the people on like Facebook comment sections out themselves as one when they're all running to Josh Donaldson's defense with some of the single most comments you've ever seen.
I also want to throw this out there. Me and a good buddy of mine that used to work here, he had a really large transracial family, which is the proper term. He had African-American kids who were born in the United States. He had African-American kids who were born outside the United States. He had kids that were born in Asia. He had kids that were, they had 13 kids.
I see.
10 of which were adopted through various means over over many years.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this large transracial family, and I learned a lot from him in terms of those little things that you may not think are necessarily something that you should be thinking about, but you should.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that, and so, you know, we would always make jokes about what a racist he was, and, you know, whenever you'd see them, it's like, "Well, you're just a racist." And he's like, "Yep, raised in a house of hate," he would say, which clearly he wasn't. But I think we've gotten with social media, Twitter in particular, we've gotten a little too comfortable saying, "This person is a racist." That's a big accusation. It really is. It's not like, "Oh, hey, buddy, that's not something you say."
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't say that. Let's have a teaching moment, an education moment. Even if you say, "Hey, jackass, don't say that. That's not appropriate," which is basically what happened.
Essentially.
But to say the dude's a racist? I have no idea. I don't know who he is.
Well, and here's the thing. So many people are blaming Anderson for, quote, "Oh, what a such and such," using the race card for every little thing. "Oh, where's this country go?" That's like 90% of the comments. Tim Anderson never used the word race, racist, anything. Tim Anderson said, "No, I thought the comment was disrespectful," because A, Tim Anderson is on the record. Not, you know, he said the Jackie Robinson thing. He's also said Jackie Robinson is his personal hero. It's his favorite player. B, he didn't actually call himself the new Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, he's never said anything like that.
If you ever listen to the interview, he said, Jackie Robinson is my hero. And they were asking him about the whole deal with his bat flipping and his bumping his fists together and pointing at his dugout every time he gets a hit, his, you know, sliding into home plate after a home run, all the wacky stuff he does. And he says, you know what, Jackie Robinson was always my hero, and it would be an honor to be a pioneer like Jackie Robinson was. His was breaking the color barrier. I'd like to be the guy who brings some fun into baseball.
Hmm.
That was the quote. And there's so many, how dare he compare himself to a Hall of Famer, but he didn't say he was. First of all, though, if you actually look at their offensive stats, a lot closer than you might think.
Well, and beyond that, he's just saying, this guy's my idol.
Yeah, and Tony La Russa actually is the one that said, hey, Jackie was a racist comment. And no one is flaming La Russa for some reason. But Tim Anderson actually said it was disrespectful because he and Josh Donaldson have not liked each other since 2018. They have been on and off feuding with each other for over 4 years now. And at the 2019 All-Star Game, they were teammates. And Donaldson called him that during the All-Star Game. And Tim Anderson turned to him on the field and said, you and I are not friends. Don't call me that. So he just said point blank, I don't
I didn't even know this.
Oh, yeah. Tim Anderson just said, you and I aren't buddies. Don't bro me if we're not bros.
I'm going to take back what I said then, because, again, I'm not going to throw that word out. I still stand by the fact that if you call somebody a quote-unquote racist, that is a huge sledgehammer. Well, yeah. That is a huge sledgehammer of an accusation. That being said, what you just said, yeah, the guy's clearly out of line.
Well, and Josh Donaldson, you know, there's that coin flip of, does this make it right? No. But he is known as a pest. That's like his thing. He wants to annoy people. This particular time, I mean, if he had called him anything, if he just called him, hey, jerkwad, and it got the same reaction, whatever. He obviously needs to be more careful with what wording he uses to be a pest. I think that's all he was trying to do.
Especially since he knows that's kind of a trigger word or a trigger person.
Yeah, Tim already told him 3 years ago, don't call me that. We're not friends.
Huh.
But Josh Donaldson now 3 years in a row has weirdly. Now, it made sense when he was playing for the Twins because we were rivals. We played him all the time. Now he's a Yankee, and it's the White Sox. I don't know what's with Josh Donaldson. But 3 years in a row, he's picked a different White Sox player, called them out specifically, and started a fight. And the next day, his team got whooped by the White Sox all 3 years in a row. And so, I don't know why he keeps doing it.
So what happened here, Aaron? I didn't follow this after the initial, hey, don't do that. Was there a suspension? Was there a warning?
Josh Donaldson was given a one-game suspension. Which, first of all, seems to me like, all right, sure, that's fine. That's as good as a rest day, but it sends a message. But then you've got the White Sox organization. That's way too much, or that's way too little. You need to come down on him harder, blah, blah, blah. And then the Yankees turn around and going, why was he suspended at all? He did nothing wrong. He's just talking. And it's like, I don't know. I thought it was a perfectly reasonable amount.
So did I. In fact, it's probably a little light. And beyond that, it's 162 games. He probably enjoyed the day off.
Probably.
Which he shouldn't.
but can I just say, as a White Sox fan, personally, my favorite part of the whole altercation is that the next day we got a doubleheader with the Yankees. We swept them, both games. And Tim Anderson hit the game-clinching three-run home run. And then got into a little bit of trouble. I think he had to pay a fine because he was caught on a live mic for swearing. But it had to have been the best couple $100 he's ever spent in his life. He comes off the field. So first of all, he had the live mic on for that night game, which was actually ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. So primetime game against the Yankees one day after this. And first of all, I know it was big news, but ESPN would not shut up about Donaldson and Anderson the whole game. Like, Jose Abreu's at bat, and they're talking about Donaldson and Anderson. I'm going, all right, I get it's big news. Can we talk about what's happening on the baseball field for 1 second, please? But anyhow, so in a game, a primetime game, where that's the big story, I was personally very satisfied when the White Sox had a very slim lead at the top of the top of the eighth inning. Tim Anderson comes up to bat with two outs and two runners on, and he smokes a home run opposite field, deep into right field, right over Aaron Judge's head. Tim Anderson silences the crowd. Now it's 5-0 White Sox. He rounds the bases. He touches home plate. He comes to the dugout. He looks up at some Yankees fans that had been caught throughout the game yelling, "Hey, Jackie," at him constantly because, you know, they're Yankees fans. It's what they do. Tim Anderson caught on the live mic walking to his dugout. He's shushing the crowd as he rounds the bases. He walks over, looks straight up at all the fans above his dugout, and he just says, "Now shut the F up and go home. Shut the F up." Took his seat. That had to be very satisfying if you were Tim Anderson.
Oh, when you can throw it in someone's face like that, I mean, that's like a mic drop, bat flip moment, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so are we... I have one more baseball thing I want to cover, but I want to cut off if you have anything else on this.
Well, I was just going to also say, you know, on top of everything else, to me, the number of people that were so upset by the, "Oh, he could have handled it better. Oh, he had to go and play the..." I don't know why there's still people upset at Anderson here, when if you're talking about how to properly deal with a confrontational situation...
Sounds like he did it.
First of all, he wasn't the one that played the race card, so stop using that like you're against Tim Anderson for quote-unquote trying to play the race baiter. He didn't. He never used it. He just said it was disrespectful. Then he comes out the very next day, handles his business. He doesn't talk back to these fans that are just... And he should have. He doesn't. He acts professionally right up until the end. He goes out. He goes 3-for-4 at the plate, and he hits a 3-run home run. Ball don't lie, as we used to say as kids. You know, when there's an argument about something and, you know, "Oh, we'll shoot for it. Well, this. Well, that." Well, ball didn't lie. All right. Josh Donaldson went 0-for-7. The next day, Tim Anderson 3-for-4 in game 2.
0-for-7.
He played both games.
Which means he had as many hits as I did that day.
True, yes. granted, we did throw...
My hitting average is better.
We did throw Johnny Cueto and Michael Kopech at him, who have two of the best ERAs in baseball right now. That, fair enough. But Anderson goes 3-for-4 in the one game he played and hits a 3-run home run.
Well,
to me, that's... That's mic drop.
I keep coming back to a Will Smith quote from Men in Black. "Don't start nothing, won't be nothing." Which is ironic considering what he's done recently.
And of course, obviously there's parts of you that go, "Oh, well, there was disrespect here, there was this, there was that." You know, there's part of your brain that as a human doesn't want to play the role or doesn't want to see, "Oh, well, let's not have fights, let's not..." But can I just say, considering that nothing really came of it, there was a one-game suspension, why are there so many people mad when, if we're all just going to be honest with ourselves, did that not just make for more entertaining baseball?
Honestly, people are just automatically mad.
Like,
even out here, like you'd think things would be a little more calm, and they are in a lot of ways, but when it comes to social media, people are the most ignorant, headline-reading... reactionary garbage dumps as I've ever seen.
But my question to everyone that gets mad about when this stuff happens is, would you really rather watch sports where no one gets confrontational, emotional? There's no celebrations, no showboating. There's no bad guys. There's no good guy. There's no conflict. It's just, "Hey, let's shake hands. Let's show no emotion. Let's play sports for 3 hours, and then let's all go home." Is that really more entertaining?
If you're gonna do that, then watch robots play chess.
because this was as close to like WWE storytelling as sports can get, and it made for very entertaining primetime baseball.
All right, so speaking of baseball, all right, I gotta pull this thing up again. I had it ready to go. It happened again, Aaron. It happened again. At a very somber moment.
Oh, is this Nick Castellanos?
And here it is.
The gold chair, which will sit vacant here at Citizens Bank Park, honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Castellanos rips one to deep left field. It is gone!
I did see that. He's my favorite.
It's uncanny at this point. I mean, even the timing of it. It's like, he's like, the guy finishes his sentence about... It's Memorial Day, which, you know, sometimes people get caught up in like saying, hey, thanks for your service. That's not what Memorial Day is. That's Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day is people died.
Oh, yeah.
You're honoring the people who did not come home alive, who served in the armed forces. It is not. Do not use the word happy Memorial Day. That's not what it's for. And it's a reflective, somber. At least you should have some moments.
Unless you're
like
Nick
that.
Castellanos.
But it's also a time when it's like, okay, you've had those moments of reflection. Yeah, go to a baseball game, have a barbecue. That's what these people would want you to do. But this right here, I mean, seriously, it's
have you seen the YouTube?
You couldn't even edit it any better than that.
Have you seen the YouTube video someone made where it's like a five yeah. minute compilation of every time he's done that, including one in the minor leagues? Like, he's been doing this for forever. It's my favorite.
Well, I give a shout out to our friend Jeremiah Jensen. He is the sports guy at KSL down in Salt Lake City. I went to school with him. We graduated in the same high school class. He's been on our show a bunch of times, and that's where I saw it. I retweeted him, and he had used the phrase "a tradition unlike any other." You know, kind of stealing the Masters thunder there, but. Yeah, that's just outstanding. It doesn't get any. Someone should step up and give the dude some like major sponsorship. Except I don't know what it would be. What should it be?
Nothing will ever beat the Reds announcer apology for using a gay slur on air, and he's mid apology,
and then he hits one.
I consider myself a man of faith. As Castellanos drives one into deep left field, that'll be a home run. The Reds will take.
But you know, while we're having fun with it, what would be like the ultimate corporate sponsor for this guy based on what he does with this? Again, it's an uncanny ability. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor, because there it is. And it's happened a bunch of times.
The dark humor answer here is some funeral home somewhere, but
that is kind of a dark answer. I was thinking of like people you can't be mad at or things that don't stick to people. I'm like, Teflon? Can he get like a Teflon sponsorship or something like that?
You could just go with something random, just play a bunch of clips of it, and then at the end you just throw the Sprite logo up there and just go, drink a Sprite. Commercials don't always make sense anymore, Dal.
Yeah, that's true.
Their only purpose these days is to grab your attention and then throw a logo out there.
Especially like if you are like a perfume or cologne. There's like that one of Johnny Depp digging a hole in the desert and he's got all his rings on, and I don't know what the heck's going on there. Well, I don't know what that has to do with cologne, but there it is. Anyway, I loved that. I thought it was funny. And yeah, shout out to Jeremiah, JJ, thanks for that. That was hilarious.
And then one final note on the baseball spectrum before we leave is, as a Sox fan, I got to go back to Anderson again, and we feel like we really dodged a bullet here. We were playing the Cubs the other day in what was a very wild game. It ended 5-4 in extra innings. White Sox take the season series, by the way, 3-1, south side, best side. Anyhow...
Strong side.
Yeah. In the middle of that game, we really thought, okay, good season, everyone. We'll see you all in 2023, because Tim Anderson ranged to his left to make a play on a ground ball. As he scooped the ball out of his glove and goes to throw, it looked like he started making the throw off balance. He just started hopping on his left foot, throws the guy out at first base. Everyone said, well, that's a weird way to throw a baseball, Tim. What are you doing? Until he collapsed on the ground right afterwards. Immediately diagnosed as a groin injury, and everyone in Chicago, apart from those disgusting Northsiders, I love you during basketball, hockey, and football season, though. Immediately held our breath. Then it came out yesterday. All right, it's just a groin strain. He's only going on the 10-day injured list, when a lot of us really thought, is his season over? And that would be a shame, because right now he leads all shortstops in both the National Anthem. He's number one in baseball in batting average, OPS, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, WAR, Every major stat you can have, Tim Anderson is number one in professional baseball among all shortstops. And then suddenly he's laying down on the grass after making a routine throw to first base, and we all went, are you kidding me?
Let him heal, man. That's all I'm saying. Those things have a tendency, if they're not 100%, don't try and rush them back. I look at Curtis Samuel for Washington football last year. He was their key free agent signing. He was supposed to be the guy that helped break the offense open. And I think he had six catches, and he played in parts of two games because he had this lingering hamstring groin thing in the summer, and it just persisted. Supposedly he's fine now, but it took like a year. So hopefully it's nothing like that.
Speaking of wide receiver issues, I'll talk about my Chicago a little bit more. Did you hear Justin Fields come out and bash the national media? And I guess me too, because I'm with the media here, but whatever. Stick to your guys. Justin came out after a reporter asked him about depth at wide receiver and how he feels about the receiver room. And Justin Fields said, I don't know why there are so many questions about our wide receivers. Just because we don't have names, we have elite talent in our wide receiver room. And I said, that's adorable, Justin.
Well,
we do not.
And then he said something to the effect, if they were on Green Bay, you wouldn't be saying that. And then I'm like, that's right, Justin, you wouldn't, because Aaron Rodgers would be throwing them the ball. Aaron Rodgers could elevate a water boy into a slot receiver. I'm just saying, yeah, he needs to shoulder a little bit of the blame because the receivers can't catch it themselves.
I will also say I found it a little bit gigglesome that Pro Football Focus tweeted out Justin Fields had a 148.8 quarterback rating that was number one in the NFL last year on all rollouts. He was also 33rd in the NFL in rollout called pass plays. He only got to run 19 of them. And someone goes, this must be the most Matt Nagy thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, that's working. That's working a little too well. Scrap that.
I will say this, though. I quote Mark Twain, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Potentially.
You can find anything you want. Now, in your heart, in your gut, Aaron, your father now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Aaron Fields is going to finish in the top half, statistically, of NFL quarterbacks this upcoming season?
Well, I've never heard of Aaron Fields, so I'm going to say
Justin
no.
Justin Fields, sorry.
This particular year, I don't know if Justin Fields is going to rank in the top half of anything with our offensive line
exactly.
And our wide receivers.
And yet, I'm seeing stuff. I saw a guy, it's on my laptop, so I don't have it in front of me. I screenshotted it, and he was talking about the Bears, like, not only winning the NFC North, but, like, making noise and potentially going deep into the postseason. So I'm like, that's not going to age. I don't even know who this guy is, but he has, like, 20,000 followers, and he should know better, is what I'm saying. Because he kind of does this for a living, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's not going to age well. So I screenshotted that, going to tuck that in my back pocket.
I do think Ryan Poles is doing a good job of rebuilding this team so far. But we are in year one of rebuild, and year one of rebuild means that we are trying to get a top 10 draft pick next year.
Well, and that's the thing about the Bears is I have a brother who is...
We gutted all our decent veterans.
I have a brother who's a diehard Bears fan, and so we always give him grief for this, that, and the other. And let's be honest, not like the rest of our teams are any good. But I screenshotted something else and sent it. I can't remember the organization. They basically had the Bears finishing like dead last, like going 3-13 or 3-14 this year.
The only reason I think that the Bears won't be able, because again, I think their ceiling is like 8 or 9 wins. If no one gets hurt. And that's the worst, even though this is where I become a hypocrite of a sports fan, because right now in the offseason, I'd love a 3-14 season, because that's the best thing to then, right, next year with all our cap space, to then add draft capital to that. Like, okay, then next year we're set up. But I fear that 7 or 8 wins is what's coming, because our schedule is such a cupcake bit of nonsense. We are going to luck our way into 4 of those.
But are they not one of the sweet, delicious
Here's why.
Treats on the menu?
Khalil Mack is gone. That hurts their ability to beat some of the better teams.
And to get off the field.
Yes.
Trust me, I have been a fan of a team that cannot get off the field defensively. It is demoralizing.
Here's the thing. Last year, Khalil Mack played 5 games. Allen Robinson left. That was our other one.
Yeah.
I don't think we got better than last year, but bizarrely, the 2 guys we lost didn't do anything last year. I think we're pretty much the same team we were last year.
Well, my
minus some leadership.
My brother, the Bears fan, I sent that and I said, what do you think about this? And he said, sounds like it's a pretty good bet to bet that they'll win more than that. And I said, you're probably right, because when's the last time the Bears only won 3 games?
Well, and the wild thing...
I mean, seriously.
No, the Bears are frustrating because...
It's been a long time.
When the Bears are bad, they are in that frustrating state. And like I always think back...
Yeah, they're stuck in mediocrity like my team.
I always say the worst season I've ever seen. And we've gone 3-13 once in my lifetime. And still, for some reason, the season that sticks in my brain is I'm like, oh, 2007. Oh, that was the worst year. Oh, I couldn't... Rex Grossman was so bad. If he had played all 16 games, he would have shattered the interception record. It wouldn't have even been close. I think we benched him after 9. Like Rex Grossman, who just took us to a Super Bowl the year before, we benched him after 9 games.
Yeah, he went from went from good Rex to train Rex.
And we said, all right, it was horrible. They went 7-9. Like that's how the Bears like to do when they're bad, is they like to go 7-9, 6-10, and make me go,
which is kind of what we were talking about. So even though things are kind of setting up for them to have a losing season,
they'll probably win 6 or 7 games.
And even
games.
If they do, yeah, it kind of seems like historically they're not going to be that bad.
So you know what that's going to do?
Stuck in that maddening mediocre zone.
It means we're going to get pick number 9 in the draft instead of pick number 3.
Or number 12.
Yeah, and we're going to settle for the second best tackle or
now, I have to ask, do you guys even have any picks for next year? Because you traded away all of them for this year.
No, we didn't trade any of our next year picks.
Okay. I'm just saying I didn't know how far down the line
in fact,
the Justin Fields
this year, that was one of the things I wanted to praise Ryan Poles about, is in free agency when he just sat on his hands, Bears fans went, what is he doing? What is going on with Ryan Poles? And here was clearly the strategy, is he said, you know what?
Are you going to win the Super Bowl this
year?
We're
not winning the Super Bowl this year. Now, the reason Bears fans were upset is for kind of what we mentioned a little earlier. Justin Fields, would you bet on him to put up great stats this year? No. He has no help. None. And there are Bears fans that genuinely feel like, how many throwaway years can you give a young quarterback before officially his confidence is shot and there's no going back now?
Which is why it's hard to... They're kind of in that bad method of giving up the farm, drafting a guy, and then firing the people that drafted him, and so he starts with a bad team on a short leash.
The only hope we can give for Fields this year is that we now have an offensive coordinator that's just going to actually be allowed to do his own job, and one that has worked under Kyle Shanahan for many, many years. I'm hoping our offense this year looks a lot more like, I'm not going to say the 49ers offense because they run it much better. We don't have the personnel they do. But style-wise, the Niners offense, or even if you want to go back to when we had Kyle Orton at quarterback, I'd take that. Our offense is 2-step drop, throw slant. 2-step drop, throw a quick out, run some rub routes. Do not call a 5-step drop and let Justin Fields be murdered. Just say, you know what, this year's kind of a wash offensively, so the best case scenario is we're going to keep your completion percentage high so you feel good, and we're going to keep you alive, and then we're going to go into next year. And that's really all we're going for here.
Well, the good news is preseason starts in like 60 days, something like that.
Just concede that if we commit one holding penalty, the drive ends, and just be like, you know what, that's fine. Let's throw 3 slants and punt. that's okay. That's all we're trying to do here.
We might have to come back and revisit that sentence right there in the middle of the season and see if you're still okay with it.
No, see, that's what I was going to say. The hypocrite in me is right now I'm talking about ideally we go like we win four games, we get a great draft pick, we got all that money next year, and you know the upswing starts next year, and then the season will start, and I will be legitimately crying blood with intensity in front of my TV every week because I can't turn it off. I'm like, I know that we should lose this game, but that's Minnesota over there. Oh, hey. I don't want to lose to Minnesota.
Washington did the same thing a few years ago when they could have, actually, it was just this last year. They could have improved their draft pick, but they have a chance to beat the Giants, in which they did. And it's just like, well, wouldn't you rather have a better draft pick? It's like, no, I hate the damn Giants. I don't want to lose to the Giants.
See, I remember a few years ago we played the Vikings week 17. That was the year we went 3-13. And my grandfather's sitting next to me, and he's actively rooting for the Vikings. And he says, well, what does it matter? I'd rather have a top five pick. And granted, the Vikings beat us anyway. So
you'd
my
rather
rooting
have both is what you really want.
And I said, I should. But in order for me to root for the Vikings, I'd have to turn the game off. Because if I'm looking at the Bears, I will cheer for them.
I'm the same way.
The perfect way that this season could go is if the Bears could go 2-15 and sweep the Packers.
Yeah. I understand. We need to talk about my Washington team just briefly because...
Oh, yeah, they've been called to Senate, haven't they?
Seriously, you could not run this thing worse. If you had a playbook saying this is how you embarrass a $5 billion franchise in the country's biggest sport. It's just, it's unbelievable to me that Dan Snyder is still the owner, and I am so hopeful that he will not be sometime soon. But he and along with Roger Goodell have been requested, I should say, to testify at a congressional hearing coming up later this month on June 22nd. So they're looking at a congressional investigation and the NFL's role in setting and enforcing standards and whether or not legislative reforms are needed to address these issues, blah, 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 bling, 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 blah. So it's interesting to me that they're bringing them in when they have already basically accused Washington of stealing. It's just, it's got to be close. Here's the other thing. So I've been to one Washington football game in my life in person. In 2004, Wyoming defeated Ole Miss the day before in Laramie, which was awesome. And so we were riding high, me and my brother, who's also a Washington fan. And so we hop a plane. We drive to Salt Lake from Laramie, which is not short. And then we fly to D.C. because we're going to watch. It's Joe Gibbs. He's on his second stint playing Bill Parcells and the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And this was in 2004. So they're like, 5 years into the FedEx Field experiment?
Mm-hmm. Which is going swimmingly, by the way.
The interesting thing about that was I remember there was kind of this pissing contest between Snyder, who's the new guy, and Jerry Jones, the established, big name, three Super Bowl, America's team guy. Because let's be honest, that's who Dan Snyder really wants to be. He wants to be Jerry Jones.
For some reason.
So at the time, Dallas had the brand new stadium, and it was the biggest in terms of capacity in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people may not remember this, but FedEx Field was bigger by like 1,500 or 2,000. It was done on purpose. Let's put it that way. And it was a sellout that game I went to. So there was literally like 92,500 people, which is the biggest crowd I've ever been a part of. Anyway, it was a great game. Went into overtime. Washington lost. Of course they did. But it was a very good game. But my point is 92,000 plus. And there were people outside who didn't get in. I mean, it was a hot ticket. Almost 100,000. There was 100,000 people on site. This latest suggestion or the proposal for the new stadium for the Commanders, $55,000. Which, again, I'm okay with, but it's interesting that in, what, 17 years, they've gone from our point of one of our big things is we're going to have the largest crowd in the NFL to we have the crappiest attendance in the NFL, and maybe we should build our next stadium. It would be the smallest in the league. 50. And again, I don't even have a problem with that. But in 15 to 17 years, he's done that. The guy is bad for the league. He's bad for business. And he shouldn't be the owner. And I am prayerful, literally prayerful, that they make him sell the team.
That would be ideal.
And here's the thing, Aaron. Even if that happens, it's not like the guy loses. He's going to get like $5 billion for this franchise. He's just going to get it. And then he can just fade off into the sunset and no one, he'll just be a footnote. But he's going to have $5 billion. It's just, anyway, so it's kind of a loaded, you know, it's kind of a loaded situation. But worst owner in sports. So hopefully not for much longer.
Yep. And you know what? We're talking about your team in this sport. Why don't we transition over? And I actually already locked my picks in before the game started last night. You have the ability to, if you need to, you've now seen game one.
Oh, so, I'm an Avalanche fan. So I'm pulling for the
Game
Avs.
One did not affect my pick in any way.
Okay. But yeah, I'm going for the Avs all the way.
Colorado versus Edmonton.
14 goals by 14 different guys.
This series.
Has that ever happened?
Is going to ruin those goaltenders.
So this morning I'm reading the sports.
I picked Colorado, by the way.
For our morning show that we do with another guy that I work with here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of behind and I hadn't really read ahead kind of the national stuff. And so I get into this paragraph about the Avalanche, and I start reading the names of the people who scored. Usually that's like three names long, mm-hmm. or you know, three or less. And it just kept, they had literally listed every guy who had scored, and then they did the same for the, so I said 14 names in a row on the first go over, and I was just like, that was garbage. People probably turned off. It's like here's Dal reading a bunch of Canadian and Russian names. It's just stupid. It was, anyway, so the next couple times through, I'm just like, you know, eight different goal scorers, blah, blah, blah. I switched it up, but holy crap, talk about a shootout. 14 goals!
And I suspect that's going to be the series.
Wow.
I don't think they're going to slow down, is the amazing, because these are two teams that are very forward heavy and very goaltender lacking.
Which is not so. I guess I thought the Colorado keeper was a little better than that.
Kemper, I said a few weeks ago, if Colorado has another postseason meltdown, it's going to be Kemper that does it.
But here's the thing: the backup looked great
in
the,
a little bit.
Now, granted, it's against the Preds who weren't that great.
He didn't look so hot when he was called into action last night, but
right. And so I don't know. It's
the reason though I'm sticking with Colorado is A, I already said I'm taking Colorado. If I'm going to be wrong about that, I'm going to keep taking them until someone makes me wrong.
Right. Which is, let's be honest, if it's going to be anybody, it's probably going to be the Lightning.
Which is first of all, it doesn't really matter who I take anymore because the Rangers knocked out Carolina the other night. I now have a 4-point
freaking
lead.
Rangers. They shouldn't even be in the playoffs anymore. They should have lost to the Penguins.
Oh, but they didn't.
I know. But they should have.
They were better than the Penguins.
Well, yeah, by about an eyelash.
See, now I dislike the Rangers, but I hate the Penguins, but we've talked about that already.
I like the Penguins.
Oh, see, when they doubled down a few years ago, their fans became intolerable.
Didn't you ever watch Sudden Death with Jean-Claude Van Damme? How can you hate the Penguins?
I can't stand Crosby, and I can't stand their fans.
Well, he wasn't in that movie. He probably wasn't even born when that movie came out. But it's a... It is a Van Damme. It's actually super violent in parts. But one of my favorite parts of that movie is Van Damme is in like the kitchen area, which there's a lot of dangerous things in a mm-hmm. commercial kitchen like that. And he's fighting a terrorist who is indeed dressed up as the Penguin mascot. And it's actually super entertaining. Anyway, I know that sounds stupid, but I also loved Mario Lemieux. I mean, come on.
Well, Mario Lemieux is fun. I'll give you that.
Anyway, and I guess I like Sidney Crosby. I think he's awesome.
But anyhow.
Moving on.
So as I was trying to brag a second ago, I was interrupted.
Sorry.
Allow me to pat my own back here for a moment.
Aaron kicked my butt.
My 4-point lead with only 3 series left to go. So
yeah, it's
I'll take the referees in the championship. It's not looking, matter.
It's not looking good for me.
what but
did
anyhow.
We bet on this anyway? Did we bet anything or just a?
No, I don't think so. Right. Now we have. I thought it was ongoing, but we didn't mention it, which is our fault. So my apology. But so we haven't had people consistently betting against us. So no one's going to win the hat from us.
Are we still doing that thing?
Why don't we just make that ongoing? Okay. Every postseason in every sport, if one of you beats both Dal and I, you win a free hat.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
USFL might be their best chance at that because there's only going to be 3 games. Well, someone's going to beat us.
And I'll tell you something else. I saw a hat online that I really liked. Mm-hmm. I'm a Rockies fan, but before that I was a Royals fan. I grew up liking the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
And then I kind of switched over to the Rockies because I went to college in Laramie, which is 2 hours from Denver. And I went to a ton of Rockies games. They were brand new. The Blake Street Bombers, you know, they'd lose 12-11, but it was awesome. It was fun. And you'd get in for like $8. I mean, it was the salad days. Anyway, but I saw this really cool Kansas City hat online. And I'm like, I might need to get that because I still kind of claim the Royals, but...
Mm.
But I also admit...
Well, then I hate you.
Well, but anyway...
You and your stupid Royals.
So, guess how much this hat was? Sorry, this is a grumpy old man moment.
$787.
No, it wasn't like a collectible hat. This is just a hat. This is less like...
$89.99.
It was $46. $45.99 for a freaking hat.
I was going to say, if we don't have people beating us, maybe for future series... Because I don't want to do it now, because I've already clinched this NHL one, so that would seem rude of me. But whichever one of us wins, the loser, with like whatever, we'll say a $40 limit, owes the winner a hat of that sport.
But that's what pisses me off, is hats, it used to, first off, I have about 70 hats.
Can I say, though, what we're talking
29
about...
29 of which are Wyoming hats.
The NHL pick'em, it would almost be more fun if I did only have a 3-point lead. Because we tied in the NFL pick'em.
Give me a handicap if you want.
We tied in the NFL pick'em. I have a 1-point lead in the NBA finals, and it's kind of a... it's not really a coin flip, but it's almost a coin flip. We could tie in that. Imagine if we tied in all 3 of the first 3 pick'ems in a row.
But yeah, I'm annoyed. I mean, come on. I mean, it's getting ridiculous now. You can't buy anything without it going, whoa, that pinches. Am I being like a grumpy old man here? $46 for a hat that probably cost $3 to make in Malaysia? And again, I'm not trying to poke fun at that, but that's what happens. It's not like these are hand-stitched by union guys in Pennsylvania making $30 an hour. They're not. I guarantee they're not. So don't tell me about rising gas prices and this stuff, because you're committing crimes across the sea. Anyway, it's like if you're going to charge me $46, at least give it to the kid who's making the hat. Sorry, is that over the line?
Oh, that's
probably.
That's just brilliant, is what that
I just,
is.
I was just like, okay, I guess I'm not getting that hat. I am not spending $46.
Purely on the principle of it.
Well, I'm not spending $46 on a hat when in the last 5 years I've spent $14 on a hat and been happy with it.
My problem is I rarely wear hats.
Have hat materials skyrocketed so much?
I would proudly display my victory hats like on my trophy case. The problem is I'm not much of a hat wearer. Well, so I'm not sure that maybe a nice pair of sunglasses with the I wear
like the
those.
Ditka ones. The Ditka aviators or whatever.
But anyhow, I assume you're also taking Colorado against Edmonton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Avs all the way.
Whether that's for analytical or fandom reasons, I'm going to take Colorado because, and here's the thing, I genuinely believe Edmonton, and ESPN is finally marketing this series. And what a game one they had as this battle of superstars. Oh, it's McKinnon versus McDavid. Oh, it's Draisaitl versus Rantanen. It's these superstar scorers out here. And Edmonton, superstar for superstar in the top six, is almost genuinely better than Colorado on all of them. Connor McDavid is the best hockey player on the planet. Nathan McKinnon is great. He's not Connor McDavid.
In fact, I think McKinnon even came out and said this week, I'm not Connor McDavid.
McKinnon's faster than Connor McDavid.
But he basically deferred.
Yeah.
Like someone was comparing, he goes, I'm not him. He's like, he's better than me.
I mean, that's not like shameful.
No,
no
not
one
at all.
Is Connor McDavid.
Anyway, I just, yeah.
But Leon Draisaitl is a top five player in the NHL, and he's the sidekick on that team. Here's where Colorado is going to run away with it. Edmonton's bottom six is nothing. I'm sorry, that sounds disrespectful. They're infinitely better hockey players than me in comparison to other playoff teams.
But you're not supposed to be the bar.
No.
That's like when someone makes fun of women's basketball and the person comes back and says, well, they're better than you. Well, they sure as hell better be. I'm a 45-year-old overweight guy that's 5'10".
I'm also not paying money to watch myself play basketball. But
it's like, really, come up with a better comeback than that.
But yes, as disrespectful as it is, Edmonton has their bottom six is nothing. They are the worst bottom six in this Final Four. And Colorado's bottom six, Colorado's the deepest team in the playoffs.
So you could argue that six goals is great, but they needed eight, which is what that first game was.
Yes, and Colorado is going to get production. Ugh. They're going to get production out of their fourth line. They're going to get production out of their defensemen. They're going to get scoring from everybody.
Yeah.
Edmonton has four or five super studs that you're going to have to contain, and it's going to be hard because they're not particularly containable. But eventually they're going to get tired, and in will come the third line, and in will come the fourth line, and you can run up the score on those guys. And that's what Colorado, I mean, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a great series, high scoring, and Colorado might genuinely win in four or five games.
Well, I'd be fine with that. In fact, I am really flirting with getting a Avalanche jersey.
I'd get a Get a McKinnon. That dude is going to be a staple of Colorado Avalanche hockey for probably another decade.
I kind of have a rule that I don't buy jerseys of current players because that's how you end up with a Bryant Westbrook.
Okay, but if you get a Patrick Waugh, we're not going to be friends anymore.
I love Patrick Waugh.
Oh, I hate you now. I'm canceling the podcast.
He doesn't even care. I like the one statement someone's giving him crap. He's like, I couldn't hear you. I have my two Stanley Cup rings in my ear. In my ears.
The problem was that was Jeremy Roenick. He said that too, who was a Blackhawk. But it was unfortunately.
But if I was going to get one, it's probably going to be Joe Sakic.
That's acceptable. I don't like
Adam Foote.
I don't like Wah only because my hockey, here's your fun fact about me for anyone that doesn't know this. Hockey is the only sport of the four major sports where my favorite player of all time did not play for my favorite team.
Gretzky?
No. I am a massive Martin Brodeur stan. I love Brodeur. It's actually why the Devils are my second favorite team, like as a distant second behind the Blackhawks. And it doesn't make sense anymore because he hadn't been on the team 10 years.
Long time.
But it doesn't matter. I'm like, sorry, he was ingrained in me as a kid. Now I see Devils jerseys and I just think Brodeur and I go, ooh, the Devils.
But I
loved Brodeur.
But I seriously only have one active.
And he's better than Patrick Wall.
I only have one active sports jersey. The rest of my jerseys are Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get robbed that way. I've thought about getting ones of like players who maybe should be in the Hall of Fame. Well, I guess that's not true. I have a Joe Jacoby jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's not there yet. Another guy along those lines for Washington would be like London Fletcher. I loved London mm-hmm. Fletcher. I don't know if they're ever going to put him in the Hall, and if they do, it might be another 20
London
years.
Got really unlucky by being a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker through a decade where middle linebacker was like one of the sexiest positions in football.
Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher.
If London Fletcher had played in the 90s, we'd remember him as the middle linebacker of the 90s.
Well, his numbers actually stack up pretty dang even with Ray Lewis. Anyway,
now, I've often said I'm not a huge fan of stats for defensive players because it can be a thing of circumstance. Brian Urlacher and Ray Lewis, in fact, probably got credited with more assists than they reasonably should have.
Maybe.
But
we are caroming off the rails of my jersey conversation, though.
True. But yes, playing in the same decade as Teddy Bruschke, Zach Thomas, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis. Okay, sorry, London. You were top five.
Well, that's a guy I would get it. So I have one jersey of a current player,
mm-hmm.
and it's Chase Roullier, who is the starting center for the Commanders, formerly the football team, formerly the Redskins. And it's because he played at Wyoming. And he was a 6th-round pick, and he's made good. He's made, not only made the team, he turned into their starting center and got the big extra contract. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I have a Chase Roullier jersey. He's the only current player jersey that I own.
Similarly, because I had one of every jersey at this point, now I just, if I ever am in the mood for a jersey, I'm just collecting neat ones just for my own personal enjoyment. So when we drafted Cole Kmet, I bought a Cole Kmet jersey 3 days after he was drafted because he was my favorite player at Notre Dame when we had him.
The funny thing is there's some really Wyoming, big fans for Wyoming that they'll like buy a jersey of the guys in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, I'm kind of jealous when they show their man cave and they've got like, you know, 15, 16 different jerseys. But they're the Wyoming names that you recognize from when they played with the Cowboys. And it's just, there's part of me that's jealous of that. And then let's be honest. There's been a ton of Wyoming fans buy Josh Allen jerseys in the last 5 years.
Have I ever told you that I am set to be the greatest bandwagon fan ever if ever a need arises?
Yeah.
Because that was my collection I decided to start. I wanted at least one jersey of every NFL team.
Yeah, I love your story with the guy who had him in his trunk of his car.
AJ Feely. Oh, AJ, if you're listening to this, thank you for the signed Eagles jersey back in Hillsboro, Missouri.
I just love he was like, which one do you want?
That's my favorite.
Like he's has some of every team that he played. I thought that was I thought that was outstanding. That's such a relatable thing, because if you and I were in that situation, you'd be like, yeah, I got him in my trunk. I just keep him back there.
Maybe it was now like reasonably I'm thinking, well, he knew he was going to a high school and he was a professional football player. So maybe kids would want some jerseys, but still, that's hilarious.
I think it's awesome. It's one of my favorite stories.
Because I used to get called AJ a lot because we have the same last name to a T and my first name begins with an A. But anyhow, we're talking about our hockey pick'em a second ago. You were going to get your Colorado jersey, so we're both taking Colorado. Rangers versus Lightning.
I hate the Rangers. And it's not like I like the Lightning, but they have a lot of mo. I'm taking the Lightning.
And that's good because that'll add some intrigue to this. Ric Flair used to say, Dal, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And if Tampa's going out, this might be the round it happens.
It could be.
The New York Rangers have gotten some otherworldly goaltending this season and into these playoffs. They have moxied their way as the little engine that could.
It's New York. Calm down.
Two rounds.
Calm down. It's not like they're from Wichita.
No, okay. They're from New York. Market-wise,
like
yes.
Like they're Hartford.
As a team, though, this was not exactly a powerhouse coming into the year.
In fact, like I said, I don't even know if they were supposed to win that first round. I don't even know what the seedings were. I don't even remember.
Vegas. Well, seedings-wise, I believe they were the two in their division.
Okay, all right.
But Vegas had the Penguins. Vegas had the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Vegas has the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Sometimes
Vegas has not been enjoying the New York Rangers thus far through these playoffs. I say it continues. You know what? Why not? Let's get a third straight game seven out of the New York Rangers. Why not? It'll be fun. I don't like the. I would be rooting for the Tampa Bay Lightning if you just said franchise versus franchise they're going to play. This particular Rangers team is a little fun because they keep in seven game series. It's a little fun. I'll root for Tampa Bay. I'm going to pick the Rangers. I want it to go seven games. I think it would be entertaining.
I here's the thing. It actually goes against some of my fan rules to do what I'm doing because I don't like warm location hockey teams as a general rule. I think that's wrong. And not only should they, and if they do exist, which
they usually import the players though,
and if they do exist, which clearly they do, they should suck. That's how it should work. And the cold weather teams who had to scrape their windshield on June 1st, which is what we had to do here, we deserve it more. Cold weather people deserve it more. Anyway, that being said, I hate New York. Hate them. I don't like anything about it. I mean, I support them when it counts as an American. But other than that, if all their teams went ahead and just lost all their games all the time, like the Knicks, that would be just fine with me.
And how about a little breaking news? Literally at this moment, Stephen Tuitt, defensive end, starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's 29 years old. 5 minutes ago, he just retired from football.
Wow.
So,
hey,
good luck in your future endeavors and all that, Stephen Tuitt.
You're seeing more and more of that. It happened last year. The lineman for Tampa Bay, I think he was 29 or 28, basically finished his rookie deal, got the big second deal, played a couple years on it, got his guaranteed money, and then said, I'm done. Yeah. Nothing hurts. I can still think for myself. I have millions of dollars, and I'm not
personal decision.
And I'm not even 30 yet. And you know, there's people that kind of look down on that. I think some people, but if you're being a realist, let's say
Stephen Tuitt.
If you're Stephen Tuitt's family, you're like nicely done. I mean, and I'm not even saying that from a mooch money off of him kind of thing. It's just like go back to Stephen Tuitt when he was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And if you said in 10 years, you can be worth $30 million and still have your whole life ahead of you, you'd be like, heck yeah, give me that. Well, that's what he just did.
Yep.
Congrats.
I would say, you know, the only people that are going to talk down on it are the people that are, you know, you should play sports for the passion, for the, well, I mean, then
I'm sure
you
he
can
did.
Do that.
I'm yeah. sure you did. I mean, you don't stay in the league not having any passion. So I'm sure he did. But what he's doing is he's sacrificing maybe 2, 3, 4 years, possibly. I mean, we don't know what the future holds of that in order to say, you know what? I can retire and I still got my original knees. That's something to be said. As a guy whose knees hurt every day, that's a pretty good thing.
So yeah, that was breaking news. We'll kind of bullet point through a few of these next ones as we're nearing the hour mark. NBA Finals, Warriors-Celtics, I'm ahead of you by one. So out of kindness to allow the comeback, I'll let you make your official pick second.
Warriors.
Okay, so that's your actual pick.
I'm not picking this. Sorry, I can't do it.
Even if I say Warriors, you'll just accept
the Warriors.
Loss. Okay.
I hate the Celtics.
The Warriors are my brain pick. Oddly, I'm in the opposite boat because I will be rooting for the Celtics in this one.
I don't even know how much I like the Warriors, but I respect what they're doing.
I need the Celtics to climb ahead of the Lakers again in championships because I hate the Lakers just a little bit more.
See, I'm still coming off the whole Lakers scene. I used to kind of have a soft spot for the Lakers because of Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
I even liked Shaq and Kobe. I mean, that was fun. And then obviously, as you've brought up in the podcast before, Dr. Jerry Buss was a Wyoming guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was from Kemmer, Wyoming, which is 100 miles up the road from us. And he was a University of Wyoming graduate. It was just cool that he was the man for the Lakers. It was just kind of a cool little side note. But, yeah, he's not around anymore. So, screw the Lakers.
All right. Well, if you're going to do this to yourself, then yeah. Maybe I do demand my hat.
Okay.
From the end. I want my Bulls hat.
Well, I'll buy you a Bulls hat.
Okay. I'm going to take...
Unless it's $46.
I'm going to take the Warriors.
I'm going to find the cheapest freaking Bulls hat.
Not only that, the Warriors might genuinely win this in 5 games. I think they
are rolling.
I've heard some people say this, and I kind of am starting to agree. Doesn't it feel like, what a weird finals this is? This doesn't feel like either of these two teams are championship team. Like, in the grand scheme of the history of basketball, why are these two teams? It's because what a weak year this was after the Suns got knocked out.
But there's always been years like that. And those championships can't just... The Spurs,
doesn't it feel like all three other Warriors title teams would have smacked this Warriors team
around? The Spurs in 1999 won the championship after a 50-game season. Does anybody ever bring up that championship as meaning less than the others? No. Because it's all about that ring, man.
A championship is a championship. I'm just saying, it does feel a little like...
You're right, though. There was one team...
Like, I want to see
this... That was kind of the cream of the crop during the season, and they got beat out.
Well, and not only that, I want to see this Warriors team play all 6 other championship Warriors team and see if they can beat any of them. And I want to see this Celtics team head-to-head with the other 17 Celtics teams and see if they can beat any of them.
Or how about the Warriors play the team that won the 73 games but didn't win the championship, which means they weren't the greatest team of all time. That's still the Bulls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, frankly, statistics can be what they are. I still feel like put them head-to-head. Would you really take that Warriors team against Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman?
Who wants to go up against Dennis freaking Rodman?
Oh, but Rodman and Draymond Green would have been hilarious.
No. It would have been a dominant for Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is what Draymond Green thinks he is.
But wouldn't it have been funny, the not basketball stuff that would have been going on the court? Yeah,
who knows? And I don't even... And there's a lot of people don't like Draymond Green. I actually like him. I think he's outspoken, but who cares? He has the right to do that. He does a lot of good things, especially for his alma mater at Michigan State.
I love enforcers in sports...
But
that are also good at their sport.
Yeah, but I also...
I do hate wasted roster spots on enforcers, but when you have... And yes, Draymond Green does not score, but he's good at basketball.
But he doesn't have to. this is where I'll actually compare him to Rodman. People act like Rodman couldn't score. Rodman didn't score much because they didn't ask him to with the Bulls. You go back to when he was with the Pistons, when he was with the Spurs, he could score just fine. And then there were games with the Bulls. It's like, oh... Rodman scored 18 today or whatever. It's just, it's because so happened that day.
Have you ever scrolled through YouTube and come across Bleacher Report's The Portal?
I guess
it's
not.
It's their basketball answer to Gridiron Heights, their football cartoon. The Portal is this little thing they do every couple of weeks where they take a current player and it's a cartoon. He gets sucked into the portal where he has to play a one-on-one game with some legend that is similar to him that people always compare him to. And they've done... Now, they have shied away from LeBron Jordan this whole time in respect to them because they would be burned at the stake if they picked a winner.
Jordan.
It should be Jordan. But
it is Jordan.
You know that the internet would crucify them if they had that, and they picked a side.
Only, I guess I'm an old fart.
They did Larry Bird versus Kevin Durant, which was fun.
Larry Bird. With the,
does your jersey say Brooklyn, son? I will F up an AAU team. I do not care. they did Magic versus Joel Embiid.
Oh my gosh, that's no contest.
They did, and then they did, their most recent one was Draymond Green versus Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I take Rodman all day.
And they go, the announcers are these floating lights, and he goes, you know the rules, first to 11, got to win by two, let's get it. And then a little clock ticking and ticking and ticking, and it says 8 hours later, and it's 1-1. And they go, all right, new game plan. First 1-3, straight up. And it literally ends. They're tied 2-2, and Rodman gives a little quote when he says, you missed one thing, Draymond. And he steps back and goes, I can make a three you when can. I absolutely have to. And he just drains one and says, all right, I'm out. And he just falls backward asleep into the portal again, back to his own time.
That's good.
It was a little bit funny.
And a good way for us to end, too. Rod, I guess I'm an old school guy, Rodman.
Actually, I will talk about this. This is my soapbox time. I get my 5 minutes at the end, right? Because a major wrestling pay-per-view took place.
Oh, okay.
This is where Dal taps out and says, uh-oh. Not only that, it's not even WWE. So now you're really going to potentially...
It's A&W.
It's AEW. Double or Nothing, their version of WrestleMania took place. And I'm a Chicago guy, and Chicagoans have this weird habit of if you also are from Chicago, it does not matter what you're famous for. We will gravitate to you. We are a stick-together type of group for some reason. And because of that, despite his weird ramblings on Twitter that make me not want to like him, I am a CM Punk fan. Love CM Punk. He's a great wrestler. He's a terrible UFC fighter, but a great professional wrestler. He defeated Hangman Adam Page for the AEW World Championship in the main event in a very good match. Man took almost a full decade off of wrestling, almost. And he comes back 6 months into his new run, and he is now AEW World Champion. We'll see. They have now strapped their biggest prize to their biggest draw, and we will see where that takes the new little brother of professional wrestling now. They've got their superstar, and they said, well, here you go. Here's our big prize. Here's our shiny toy. Bring in the fans for us, if you would. And now we'll see if they're able to do that. CM Punk, world champion.
I defer all wrestling knowledge of A&W to you. All I can think of right now is there's a cream soda in that fridge, A&W. Well, I'm going to have one of those.
You know, I feel like Hangman Adam Page would be a popular figure, though, if anyone here in Wyoming is a wrestling fan.
Is he from Wyoming?
I don't know where he's from,
actually. We're the same way, man. We're not just going to adopt some guy.
Oh.
He's got to have some skin in the game for us.
I just know his shtick is obviously he comes out to what sounds like John Wayne movie credit music.
He's like a Western hangman guy.
Yeah, he wears the spurs that he's required to take off before the match starts, and I believe he owns a 3-acre ranch somewhere in.
3 acres is not a ranch.
Whatever.
I have.
He owns horses in one of the mountain states. I know that.
Ranch is big. Farm.
Okay.
Is
anyhow, but he lost to Chicago as all things should be. Chicago.
He got punked.
Tramples over all.
He was punked.
Yes. We also had a fun little tag team championship match before that, where my boys, the Jurassic Express, got the win. I call them my boys because I think wrestling is best when wrestling is silly and knows that it is silly. And they are literally a tag team of a guy called Jungle Boy who enters to the song Tarzan Boy.
Which I like more than I should.
Yeah. And his tag team partner, Luchasaurus, who is a 6'10" dude that wears a dinosaur mask and exclusively communicates through growls.
He probably has like an economics degree from Princeton or something. is the funny thing.
So we've got this 6'10" dude that pretends to be a dinosaur and his tag team partner named Jungle Boy, who is supposed to literally be some jungle Tarzan guy. And they're the tag team champions, and I love it, and I will watch. That's so much better than... I often criticize AEW for its biggest problem being that they appeal too much to... This is going to sound weird to non-wrestling fans, but there's a sect of wrestling fans that call themselves purists. Oh, get that soap opera goofball cartoon stuff out of here. I want to see two dudes that are athletes, and they have a fake fight.
Hit each other with 2x4s.
No, they don't want that. No, no weapons. They just have a wrestle. They're going to wrestle for 30 minutes, and I'll love... Why are you watching this?
Yeah.
This is fake wrestling. Why are you watching this like all you want to see is sport?
Yeah, if you want
to... Go watch the UFC!
Well, or go watch actual wrestling. Like at the NCAA championships or something like that.
Give me Luchasaurus. Bring him out. Make him eat raw meat in the ring in front of me.
Ooh, that'd be cool. I'd be on board with that. That would get me to watch.
He does in his little Titantron, but that might be fake, so.
Yeah.
You know when they enter and the big screen behind a play, there's a clip in there where he's like hunched over in the woods and he's like shoveling chicken breasts into his mouth or something.
I want like the liver freshly cut out of a buffalo, like Dances with Wolves.
And not that they bring the liver fresh, like the buffalo is dead in the ring and he cuts it out himself. Yes. With his hands.
Yep, got the bloody hand, and he takes a big bite out of it.
He just roars into a microphone.
That's what I want.
That's wrestling. All right, well, we'll wrap it up with that then. Make sure that you tune in each and every week. You can find us on Spotify, on svinews.com/podcasts. You can find us, of course, on YouTube, and we'll see you all next time. You know what? I'm starting to get like, I'm worried my stomach is going to growl into the microphone, so I think I'm going to go grab myself some raw chicken.
Some raw liver.
And go hang out with Luchasaurus. See you all next time.